It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
We had confirmation late today from Michael Cohen's attorney that there were 3 raids that were executed on behalf of the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York City. As you mentioned, the law office, as well as the family home and a hotel room where the family is staying temporarily while some renovations are happening at their apartment. We also received a statement late today from his attorney that reads in part, the decision by the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York to conduct their investigation using search warrants is completely inappropriate and unnecessary. It resulted in the unnecessary seizure of protected attorney-client communications. Also late today, we received a statement from Stormy Daniels attorney Michael Avenatti, and it reads in part, as I predicted last week on CNN and MSNBC, Mr. Cohen has been placed in the crosshairs by Mr. Trump. He has been set up to take the fall. An enormous amount of misplaced faith has been placed on his shoulders, and I do not believe he has the mettle to withstand it. If I am correct, this could end very badly for Mr. Trump as well as others. Also late today, we spoke with a source close to the president's legal team, who described the raids to us as a big deal, very aggressive, and an effort by the special counsel Robert Mueller's office to put the squeeze on the president, saying the likelihood now of an interview session, a question and answer session between the president and Mr. Mueller, he said, is at least very remote for the time being. You're right on top of the central point, Brett. It's whether this is ultimately going to remain part of the special counsel investigation, and there is some kind of tie to Russia, and Robert Mueller has received the authorities or extended authorities from the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein to pursue this line of investigation, or whether he's uncovered evidence he believes is part of a separate criminal matter which will be pursued by the U.S. Attorney's Office. But the other big headline today is, according to Michael Cohen's attorney, they took attorney-client privileged information, and you have to have a clean team go through that evidence. You can either have a judge or FBI agents, but I was told there's a high level of distrust because Cohen was already cooperating, and to have the FBI come in might be just a bridge too far for the Trump legal team.
All right, that was Catherine Herridge, and that was the bombshell that dropped last night around dinner time somewhere. Sandy Rios with you in the morning. This is a very serious situation. This, after all, is the president of the United States. It is not common to have the FBI come breaking in or without announcement, entering the office, combing over files, going to the family home without announcement, going through the whole family home, taking all kinds of records, going into the hotel room where the family is staying temporarily while work is being done on their house, going through their records, taking personal items. That's what happened. That was the attorney of the president of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, this doesn't happen. This doesn't happen. You may have heard John Roberts talk last night on Fox mention a couple of times that there is talk that, like I would say a big duh to this, that the Mueller team is trying to take down the president. Well, that would be a real shock, wouldn't it? That would be a real shock. And let me just say, there is a writer that I often reference to you who's a national security expert. He calls himself Sundance. And this is kind of, I think this sums it up. I'm going to read to you what he wrote about this. You can call it a soft coup, or you can call it politicization of the DOJ and FBI, but the end result is the same. The intentional effort to manipulate, influence, and ultimately subvert an election for the presidency of the United States. You know, I think the deep state is in trouble. I think that maybe I haven't even told you as much detail as I needed to, trying to keep up with everything as a challenge, but they're finding more and more things. Behind closed doors at the FBI, behind the Justice Department, there are more things being uncovered. There are subpoenas. There's more information coming out. And I think that they're rushing to try to stop this. They must bring down this president. You know, and at the same time, as I told you yesterday, and you are watching without my help on the news, The president was negotiating, was strategizing with military leaders what to do with Syria after they used chemical weapons against their people a few days ago. So that's what he's been thinking about. Plus, they are negotiating with North Korea to eliminate their nuclear weapons. Those are two, just two of the things on the president of the United States table desk right now, plus what's happening at the southern border. You know, I find myself wondering, how can one man stand this? How can one man bear this? I'm not sure. You know, I only by God's grace, even if he's not aware of it. And so I found myself yesterday, and I would encourage you also to pray for him. The weight of the world really does rest on his shoulders, and the attacks are coming against his family. I think about him and his wife, Melania, and their relationship. Part of this, I worry about that, and I think we need to pray for them. Because, you know, as if your family breaks down, then, you know, it's hard. It's very hard to face these battles when things are not right at home. So this whole business of Stormy Daniels is very hurtful, I'm confident, to Melania Trump. Stormy Daniels claims that there was a one-night stand 12 years ago and that she was paid $130,000 before the election and signed a non-disclosure agreement so that she would not speak about it. And that's part of why, allegedly, the raid took place. The raid into the, you know, Michael Cohen's home, his office, taking attorney-client privileged information with the president of the United States by the FBI, using the Southern District of New York, U.S. attorneys, FBI agents. You know, what's happening here? You think anybody in the FBI is upset with the president? You think they would be delighted to find out his personal interactions with his attorney? You know, this is really, really just unconscionable. It really and truly is. The president spoke out about it yesterday. I want you to hear, this was, to have to tell you, his composure amazed me. I don't think it could have been nearly as composed. He's sitting at the table with his cabinet, and the press is allowed to come in, and they're supposed to be talking about Syria, but this is what the president said.
They broke into the office of one of my personal attorneys, good man, and it's a disgraceful situation. It's a total witch hunt. I've been saying it for a long time. I've wanted to keep it down. We've given, I believe, over a million pages worth of documents to the special counsel. They continue to just go forward, and here we are talking about Syria. We're talking about a lot of serious things with the greatest fighting force ever. And I have this witch hunt constantly going on for over 12 months now. And actually much more than that. You could say it was right after I won the nomination it started. And it's a disgrace. It's frankly a real disgrace. It's an attack on our country in a true sense. It's an attack on what we all stand for. So when I saw this and when I heard it like you did. I said, that is really now in a whole new level of unfairness. So this has been going on. I saw one of the reporters who is not necessarily a fan of mine, not necessarily very good to me. He said, in effect, that this is ridiculous. This is now getting ridiculous. They found no collusion whatsoever with Russia. The reason they found it is there was no collusion at all. No collusion. This is the most biased group of people. These people have the biggest conflicts of interest I've ever seen. Democrats, all, or just about all, either Democrats or a couple of Republicans that worked for President Obama. They're not looking at the other side. They're not looking at the Hillary Clinton horrible things that she did and all of the crimes that were committed. They're not looking at all of the things that happened that everybody is very angry about, I can tell you, from the Republican side, and I think even the independent side. They only keep looking at us. So they find no collusion, and then they go from there and they say, well, let's keep going. And they raid an office of a personal attorney early in the morning. And I think it's a disgrace. So we'll be talking about it more.
That's the first part of his statement. I want to interject a couple of things. Stormy Daniels is at least part of this. Her attorney speaking out, and that's part of the reason why, allegedly, the Southern New York U.S. Attorney's Office has gotten involved in the FBI raiding, because allegedly there's this big cover-up about this payment. Now, look, this if that's the point of this raid, this is way too much. You don't treat the president of the United States like this with such disrespect and his attorney, first of all. And secondly, you don't conduct raids on a man's home and on his office and take privileged information because of a situation like this. Michael Cohen was cooperating with the FBI. He's turned over thousands of documents to them. And so this is just, this is unbelievable. And by the way, on Stormy Daniels, you know, she gave an interview to 60 Minutes last Sunday. Now she's given an interview to Penthouse. She's posed nude for their centerfold or whatever they use. I'm not sure. She claims, of course, she had unprotected sex with Trump once in 2006. She claims she was paid $130,000 by Trump's personal attorney the day before the 2016 presidential election as part of a non-disclosure agreement. And now she's been paid a lot, of course, to do this Penthouse spread. And, of course, she's traveling all over the country doing her porn show. So that's kind of the, you know, is anybody surprised that President Trump in a former life, would you be surprised to know that he slept with beautiful women? I mean, he's been very clear about that. He's had several wives. I'm sure he's had more women than that. So this is not a shocking revelation, nor do I believe that 12 years ago, this would be a criminal act, something that would warrant this kind of abuse of him now. And yet it's something that upon which they think they can destroy him because they're whipping up the Me Too movement and all the abuse of women. And supposedly, you know, Stormy Daniels is a victim. Yeah, go figure. The real victim here is Melania Trump, who my heart goes out to her with all of this. The president goes on to make some more good points. Let's listen.
But this is the most conflicted group of people I've ever seen. The attorney general made a terrible mistake when he did this and when he recused himself, or he should have certainly let us know if he was going to recuse himself, and we would have put a different attorney general in. So he made what I consider to be a very terrible mistake for the country. But you'll figure that out. All I can say is after looking for a long period of time, not even before the special counsel, because it really started just about from the time I won the nomination, and you look at what took place and what happened, and it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. I've been president now for what seems like a lengthy period of time. We've done a fantastic job. We've beaten ISIS. We have just about 100% of the caliphate or the land. Our economy is incredible. The stock market dropped a lot today as soon as they heard the noise of, you know, this nonsense that's going on. It dropped a lot. It was up, way up, and then it dropped quite a bit at the end, a lot. But that we have to go through that, we've had that hanging over us now from the very, very beginning. And yet the other side, they don't even bother looking. And the other side is where there are crimes. And those crimes are obvious. Lies under oath all over the place. Emails that are knocked out, that are acid washed and deleted. Nobody's ever seen. 33,000 emails are deleted after getting a subpoena for Congress. And nobody bothers looking at that. And many, many other things. So I just think it's a disgrace that a thing like this can happen.
I agree with him. And he goes on, he sort of called Rod Rosenstein out, and rightfully so. In fact, I'm hearing from legal types that this warrant that was executed on Michael Cohen was most certainly approved in part by the second highest ranking person in the Department of Justice, who is Rod Rosenstein. And so Mark Meadows yesterday in an interview, or Sunday night, in an interview with Judge Jeanine, talked about the fact that it's time to get rid of Rosenstein, and if not to hold him in contempt of Congress, to look for impeachment, because he's the roadblock against turning over all these documents from the Justice Department, in addition to being behind this warrant. That's before this warrant was even executed. It's becoming outrageous, more outrageous, if that's possible. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens today. Sandy Rios in the morning.
The influence of media is so very powerful over a person.
American Family Association and the family of Anna Bright want to warn you about the Netflix program 13 Reasons Why.
I really feel in my heart, with all my soul, that that show contributed to her passing.
After binge-watching season one of 13 Reasons Why, 14-year-old Anna Bright committed suicide in the same manner depicted on the show.
To portray suicide, first of all, as an option, is not a good thing. To portray it graphically, it leaves you vulnerable to the enemy's attack, which I think it definitely did for our daughter.
She took a permanent solution to a temporary situation.
Help protect our teens by signing the AFA petition urging Netflix to pull season one and cancel the upcoming season two of 13 Reasons Why. You can see Anna's story and sign the petition at AFA.net. That's AFA.net.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness. The music of Sasha's Song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain us through the years?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in the flood of doubt and pain. For He is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
A while back, I told you about a high school history teacher's profane classroom tirade against the military. Well, that history teacher is now history. The El Rancho Unified School District in California fired Gregory Salcido. Mr. Salcido faced national outrage after a student secretly filmed his classroom rant against American soldiers. He said they were the lowest of low, using profanities to describe his hatred of our troops. The teacher also singled out students who planned on enlisting. He bullied and belittled the teenage boys. The Board of Education says Mr. Salcido's comments do not reflect their values. It was the right decision. This man has no business inside an American classroom. Mr. Salcido has a constitutional right to loathe the military, but he does not have a right to turn his taxpayer-funded classroom into a platform to bully school children. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
It's absolutely significant. I think there will be a lot of questions asked about precisely what led to this course of action, not just because Cohen was complying, but because we're dealing with the president's attorney himself. And it's worth thinking about this in the context of the larger FBI probes that are going on now. We have inquiries into the Hillary Clinton investigation, where one of Hillary Clinton's senior advisors they allowed her to identify herself as Hillary Clinton's attorney, even though she was a political advisor, thereby privileging those communications, and then she was granted immunity without getting anything in return. So on the one hand, you have this treatment of Hillary Clinton, who was who had a criminal problem, and then you have this really unprecedented action that, no matter your view of Donald Trump, should very much concern civil libertarians and people who care about rule of law.
Yeah, that's Molly Hemingway. I just wanted you to hear what she had to say, because of course her points are well taken, and they're just a microcosm of what could be said about the difference in treatment. I mean, President Trump alluded to that in his statement. Mrs. Clinton has committed crimes, unbelievable crimes. So has Bill Clinton. I think of the hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, really, that the Clinton Foundation has received while she was Secretary of State. The hundreds of thousands of dollars that Bill Clinton received in speaking fees as payback for favors done that can be traced. This was illegal and yet nothing has been done, and there is no investigation by Robert Mueller of Mrs. Clinton's ties with Russia, of the sale of our uranium supply, 20% of it, to the Russians. By the way, Robert Mueller was involved in that. He actually hand-carried some of the uranium to the Russians on behalf of Mrs. Clinton. And he got nothing about Mrs. Clinton, just about President Trump. And by the way, that reminds me to make Molly's point further. This is from Business Insider. Robert Mueller is investigating a $150,000 payment a pro-Russian oligarch made to the Trump Foundation during the campaign. Right now, just for a second, let me tell you that everybody I know just about went to Russia, did business with Russia, interacted with Russians after the Soviet Union broke up. That's just what happened. If you're young and you don't know that, I'm telling you, that's the way it was. When Russia opened up, when the Soviet Union broke up, we reached out, tried to make friends. Christians flooded in there. People started business interests because we thought it was a new day for Russia. Of course, when Vladimir Putin was elected, he started pulling it back to the old communist ways. But that's been happening over the course of time. And everybody, that any businessman worth his salt, was doing business in Russia, or at least trying to. So when they say pro-Russian oligarch, that's really doesn't mean anything. Not what you think now, because Russia and collusion has been so branded in people's minds. There's this inability, I think, to think clearly about this. And so what happened was President Trump gave a 20-minute speech at a European conference. And that's a conference, by the way, in which, Tony Blair has spoken, so has Bill Clinton. Both of them paid, I think, pretty huge prices. President Trump didn't charge anything, but his attorney, Michael Cohen, contacted them and said, you know, you can give $150,000 to the Trump Foundation. So he did. And President Trump spoke for 20 minutes and then did not get personally paid. There's nothing illegal about that. It happens all the time when you're a speaker. People can give to your favorite charity, or you can give back to that organization. There's nothing untoward about that. And the interesting thing, too, when you're a billionaire like Donald Trump, $150,000 is nothing. And by the way, that's not nearly what Mrs. Clinton and Bill Clinton get when they speak. That's really a pittance. So, the point is that it's just inequitable. It's irrational. Oh, it's totally rational, I guess, if you're trying to bring down the president. And that's what I think is happening. And if you don't believe me, I want you to hear just this one last clip from Alan Dershowitz. Alan, of course, is a professor of Harvard. He's been on the left for a long time. He was a strong Hillary Clinton supporter. He probably still is. But he's an honest guy. He's one of the few men that I've heard say, attorneys on the left, saying that Roe versus Wade was wrongly decided, that it should never have been established as law in this country. So he's an honest guy, even though he's a leftist. And this is what he said about the raid.
Look, this is a very dangerous day today for lawyer-client relations. I deal with clients all the time. I tell them on my word of honor that what you tell me is sacrosanct. And now they say, just based on probable cause, even though this was cooperation with Cohen, they can burst into the office, grab all the computers, and then give it to another FBI agent and say, you're the firewall. We want you now to read all these confidential communications. If this were Hillary Clinton being investigated and they went into her lawyer's office, the ACLU would be on every television station in America, jumping up and down. The deafening silence of the ACLU and civil libertarians about the intrusion into the lawyer-client confidentiality is really appalling.
Yeah, it really is appalling. And so I think something big is going to happen as a response to this. It certainly should. I think a couple of heads are going to roll, and they certainly should. You know, I've never understood why. Oh, yes, I guess I do understand why. But we've had Republican leaders say, oh, no, Bob Mueller, he's a man of integrity. He's a man of such great integrity. The president can't fire him. You mustn't fire him, Mr. President. Oh, no, don't fire him. Because of his relationship with James Comey, who is the subject of part of this investigation, he should never have been appointed. That should have been handled immediately. But the fear in Washington of doing bold things is just, it's epidemic. Donald Trump is, you know, of course, anathema to that. He's like, they don't know what to do with him because he believes in taking action. And I can't imagine that he has not been so close to picking up that phone and ending all of this many, many times, but only to be advised by, you know, his wonderful advisors who are so loyal to him that they leak repeatedly, you know, the things that he says on calls to world leaders. And so then they're the ones advising him. Oh, no, you can't get. No, no, you can't. That would be terrible. People would not like you. They'd be upset. So I don't know if he's going to let Mueller go, but I think I'm just saying right here, this is my impression. I don't have any reason to, I have no inside information about this other than what I'm reading and seeing and just kind of observing. I think Rod Rosenstein is going to be gone. I really do. I think he's going to be gone, and he should be gone. He should be gone. So we'll see what happens with that. I wanted to give you a other piece of, I think, is really good news. And this is sort of in the weeds, but I think you'll understand. I know you'll understand. I don't have time to explain everything about this. But Attorney General Sessions is using a lot of people, law enforcement agencies and persons around the country to do a lot of the investigations rather than using people in D.C. To handle it. And one of the most recent additions was a U.S. attorney from Chicago. His name is John Lausch. He heads the Northern District of Illinois, which includes Chicago. He was appointed by Donald Trump, and he has been now placed in charge of facilitating the production of documents from the Department of Justice, and that's the Inspector General's investigation, to the House Judiciary Committee, which is Chairman Bob Goodlatte. And so that's really good. I'm just telling you, people on our side, people who believe that an injustice is happening here, people that believe that they want the truth, are applauding this completely. And so just not that you'll hear about this much in the news, but I'm telling you, it's a U.S. attorney in Northern District of Illinois, and he is going to be as heading up this gathering of documents from the DOJ to give to the Judiciary Committee. The DOJ under Rosenstein has just been stalling. So they've gone outside of that, and they're going to get it done in a different way. And people are applauding that bit. So I feel badly for Michael Cohen and his family today. Can you imagine having the FBI raid your home, your hotel room where your family's staying temporarily, looking through all your things? You know, I mean, that has to happen if there's criminal activity, law enforcement needs to have that ability. But if there isn't, if there's just some sort of a campaign violation, which is one of the things they're floating, or if it's a matter of this payment to Stormy Daniels, whether Michael Cohen wrote the check or the president was involved, this is not criminal. We're not talking about criminal activity. So it's just pretty appalling to me. The other thing that's happening, as you know, Mark Zuckerberg, the founder and chairman of Facebook, is in Washington appearing. Let me just tell you that today he'll be testifying. I think he's given a 5-minute statement. He'll be appearing before the Judiciary Committee. That will be Senator Chuck Grassley, who's going to start the committee meeting. That'll be at 2:15 Eastern Standard Time today. And then, of course, the statements will be made by Senate Commerce Committee Chairman John Thune, Judiciary Committee Ranking Member Senator Dianne Feinstein, and Bill Nelson. That's a cavalcade of stars. You know, they're talking about social media. Can you imagine that any of those guys really know that much about social media? So that keeps me from having a lot of confidence about how much is actually going to come out on this. Zuckerberg will deliver a 5-minute statement. And then I think tomorrow, the next day, he's going to appear before the House Committee on Energy and Commerce. Now, all the senators, 44 senators, will have a chance to question him. And even though they're not swearing him in, he's not under oath, he will be made to tell the truth, or he will have, I don't know if the word is perjury, but there will be punishment if we find out he's not honest before Congress. Peter Ducey has a report on this. Let's listen.
One of Silicon Valley's most powerful men has arrived in the swamp. Mark Zuckerberg, the embattled 33-year-old social media mogul, was tight-lipped between meetings with the lawmakers who will be peppering him with questions tomorrow. But when Zuckerberg does start speaking with cameras rolling, he plans to accept blame for letting bad actors who wanted to influence the U.S. election manipulate his social networking platform. Prepared remarks include this line, quote, "We didn't take a broad enough view of our responsibility, and that was a big mistake. It was my mistake, and I'm sorry. I started Facebook. I run it. and I'm responsible for what happens here. The remarks may also come as a shock to shareholders with this line, quote, I've directed our teams to invest so much in security on top of the other investments we're making that it will significantly impact our profitability going forward. But I want to be clear about what our priority is. Protecting our community is more important than maximizing our profits. The first lawmaker Zuckerberg met with today, Florida's Democratic Senator Bill Nelson, said the CEO was forthright, but that doesn't mean his concerns have been washed away.
I think the message I wanted to convey to him that if we don't rein in the misuse of social media, none of us are going to have any privacy anymore.
While Zuckerberg was on the Hill, 87 million Facebook users, mostly in this country, started getting notifications from the site that their information may have been shared improperly with political consulting firm Cambridge Analytica. And a whistleblower from Cambridge Analytica now says these notifications may just be a drop in the bucket.
Do you believe the number 87 million is the high end, or do you think that's still possible that number is much higher?
I think that it could be higher. Absolutely.
The White House doesn't get to send someone to ask Zuckerberg a question, but economic advisor Larry Kudlow is curious about how seriously the famously low-key
okay,
Zuckerberg
I'm gonna interrupt,
will
because
be
the rest of
tomorrow.
That's not that important. That's Peter Doocy and Fox, because I want to tell you a few more things here. You know, they're talking about Cambridge Analytica, and of course you've heard the telling. Now it's like 84,000 different Facebook followers were targeted or their information was used by Cambridge. And the storyline is to help the Trump campaign. So Mark Zuckerberg is, oh, I'm so sorry. He's doing all this mea culpa. We should never have done it. It's a horrible thing. And I actually helped the Trump campaign. That's the story. In the process, how could I have done that? I'm so sorry. I will appear on Capitol Hill. He's going to apologize today. But what he doesn't tell you is, and I've said this to you before, that the Democrats have been doing this for years. In fact, the data that they have collected from Facebook makes Cambridge Analytica look like a dwarf. In 2012, Facebook allowed the Democrats to use an app, which when installed, allowed access to all of the users' contacts. Every bit of information about you was shared with the Obama campaign in 2012 and with any Democrat running for public office. This is not new. This is not new. And the only reason Mark Zuckerberg is sorry is because now there's some connection with Trump on this. And so, by the way, we're going to put this article called How Facebook Helps Nearly Every Democratic Candidate. It's coming from Secure Your Workplace Network. It's excellent. Put that on our Facebook page and you can read that for yourself. And then this is the other story that I want to make sure that you hear. We'll put this on our Facebook page as well. As of January, Facebook changed their algorithms. Don't ask me to explain it, but they did that. As a result of that, they manipulated the reposts, the reach of all of these pages. And so now, guess who's number one and has had a 30% growth in their reach? It's CNN and then NBC. And Fox News is here, too. New York Times has had a huge increase. Huffington Post, the BBC, the Daily Mail, the Washington Post, Yahoo, and the Guardian. And guess who has fallen down? Well, let's see. It's Breitbart News. In fact, I'm going to find the numbers for you so you can find out exactly, so I can tell you exactly who has fallen down. The biggest loss was the Daily Wire. It lost 1.5 million engagements. The Western Journal fell from 12th to 22nd. Breitbart is now 21st in the rankings compared to 9th in December. But of course, Zuckerberg is saying that he just wants high quality journalism and good trustworthy journalism. So they've changed the algorithms. And of course, Mark Zuckerberg believes that an example of good, trustworthy journalism is the New York Times. And so Facebook is messing with us. So is Twitter. That's a whole other story. And I'll get into that on another day. I want to tell you next about something you heard in the spot break a few minutes ago. AFA is beginning a campaign to stop Netflix from airing 13 Reasons Why. On a series that glorifies suicide and has resulted in the death of several teens. It really is a shocking story, and I'm going to talk to you about it next. If you would like to sign our petition, go to afa.net, afa.net. It will explain more. I'm going to do that in a second also. But it will also allow you to sign your name to get them to stop this series because it really is a matter of life and death. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The Cato Institute released a new poll that shows 71% of Americans believe that political correctness has silenced important discussions our society needs to have. Democrats are unique, according to the poll, in that 53% do not feel they need to self-censor. 73% of Republicans, however, and 58% of independents say they keep some political beliefs to themselves. Of those who self-censor, do you think they refrain from sharing political views or biblical ones?
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
For decades, our country has been falling deeper and deeper into moral decline. Is there anything Christians can do to turn the tide of America's future? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress answers that question in his study in the book of Daniel called Courageous Living in a Pagan World. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Join us for Pathway to Victory with Pastor Robert Jeffress, weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Who is God? What is He like? How can we know? Your answer to these questions will impact your worship, discipleship, apologetics, and evangelism. Learn from Ravi Zacharias, Josh McDowell, Chip Ingram, and more than 60 other speakers at Southern Evangelical Seminary's 25th Annual National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 12th and 13th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Homeschool and other discounts are available. Save more when you register by May 1st at ses.edu.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Today, moral relativism and political correctness are assaulting truth. How can the world have hope when believers themselves aren't clear on the authority of the Bible?
The Church of Jesus Christ always faces a tremendous temptation to deviate from the Word of God.
The God who speaks clearly expresses God's intent in giving us His Word, and the response that is demanded of those who hear.
Nobody ever encounters God and says, that was boring and irrelevant. When people say that about the Bible, it just says to me, they've not encountered the God of the Bible.
Our faith is rooted in history, and consequently, we need to use the evidence and never be afraid of it.
The God Who Speaks is a feature-length documentary from the American Family Association, which could bolster your confidence in the Word of God.
Churches really need to see this, really need to understand what the Bible actually is.
Available now at thegodwhospeaks.org.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last night, Fox News host Laura Ingraham issued a powerful warning about how some Americans are steadily losing the freedom of speech. Specifically, she described what amounts to the censoring of conservatives by giant internet companies that long ago lost any claim to being neutral purveyors of information. Ms. Ingraham's show aired on the eve of a double feature appearance by Facebook's founder Mark Zuckerberg on Capitol Hill, starting today. Facebook is one of the most aggressive perpetrators of the selective dissemination of information to disadvantage those on the right, while favoring leftists and their Sharia supremacist allies. Most legislators are single-mindedly focused on another Facebook scandal, one that involves that company's business model built on deliberately abusing customers' privacy. No less ominous are politicized corporate restrictions on speech, and Zuckerberg must also be held accountable for imposing them. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Hey, I want to remind you, next week is our Share-a-thon, and one of the things we love to do is collect your stories. So if you have something to say about what American Family Radio has meant to you, what a show has meant to you, how it's caused you to take action, just whatever your thoughts are about it, we'd love to hear from you. All you have to do is call 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893, and the prompts will explain to you how to do it. You can re-record if you make a mistake, and chances are you'll hear yourself during the Share-a-thon next week, so I hope you'll do that. You heard during a spot break earlier just an incredible story that this is the first I've heard of it yesterday. And the problem is this, Netflix, which my husband and I love Netflix. If it weren't for Netflix, I wouldn't, besides the news, it's my break from the news. And so it's very, very, very discouraging to hear that they have produced a series called 13 Reasons Why, which glorifies suicide. All right, that's not a good thing, right? But it's having real effects on kids. And as a matter of fact, a little girl named Anna Bright, 14 years old from Alabaster, Alabama, killed herself just April 18th of 2017 after she had binged watched this series, 13 Reasons Why. Now, Tim Weilman, our president, contacted Netflix and brought this to their attention, asked them to please stop running that series, and already season two is in the works. Asked them to stop season two because real lives are being cost. She's not the only one. Bella Herndon, Priscilla Chu, both 15-year-olds from California, took their own lives after watching the 13 Reasons Why and the suicide that's illustrated there. And I think, as I'm understanding it, there are others. This is so serious. And I want you to hear a video that AFA has produced. It's an interview with her parents, with Anna Bright's parents. Let's listen.
Came home like any normal day, you know, went in the garage door and I, you know, yelled out to her, "Hey, Anna, Daddy and Samuel's home. I'm going to walk the dog." All I remember is I looked back and Samuel was coming. He was coming running up the street and screaming and crying, "Anna's dead. Anna's dead." And so I ran inside screaming, "Anna, Anna." And there was no answer. And I went to the bathroom and the door was about a foot open. And pushed it open, and there she was. Instantly at that moment, I thought she had been murdered. I'm sorry.
The lead detective came out and he talked with us, and I said, "Are y'all looking for who did this? Are y'all out, you know, trying to find out who did this?" And he said, "She did this."
He told me that your daughter's death was, we believe, was suicide, and it was staged based off of a show, 13 Reasons Why. And I'm like, "What is that?"
Hey, it's Hannah. Hannah Baker. Settle in, because I'm about to tell you the story of my life. More specifically, why my life ended. And if you're listening to this tape, you're one of the reasons why.
I mean, I really feel in my heart, with all my soul, that that show contributed to her passing.
All right, that was the parents of Anna Bright. It really, that's just part of it. We'll both post that on our Facebook page because I want you to see it. And here's the thing, we are asking you to sign a letter asking Netflix to stop this series, and certainly not to produce season two. Stop running this series. It's causing the death of girls. They're patterning, at least girls so far, patterning their suicides after this show. It's unbelievable. When you see the pictures of Anna, she's just a girl. She's just a kid. I was surprised she was 14. It could be your daughter. It could be mine. It could be your granddaughter. It could be your neighbor's daughter. Who wants this? You know, we are neither conservatives or liberals or whatever, Democrats, Republicans, when it comes to our children. This is not what we want for them. And so I ask you to go to afa.net, and to sign the petition and get on our email. This is what we do. American Family Association is trying to intercede in every way we possibly can. We've been interceding with Target. You know, there was another assault on a child in a Target bathroom, a Target changing room just a few weeks ago. We're trying to stop this stuff in our culture and doing it the very best way we can, but we can't do it without your help. And I know you want to help. I know you do. AFA.net is the place to go. I've asked Bert Harper to join us. Bert is the director of Marriage and Family Pastoral Ministries and co-host of Exploring the Word, which airs from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on AFR Talk. Bert, good morning, and thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for having me.
You know, I'm going to ask you, as a pastor, have you had to deal with suicide very often in your ministry?
Well, I have had to deal with it many times. Most of the time, it's over the telephone, honestly. Call, and you never know if it's the person or talking about someone else. They're usually talking about someone else, but you know good and well it could be about them. And it is a horrific, horrible thing for families to deal with. And I know of no other issue that brings the pain like that. The only two that I know that I've experienced 40 years of pastoring, Sandy, is suicide and then the abduction of children. Those two things, I cannot tell you the pain that it causes everyone involved. And closer it is to the center, the more pain there is. It's like the ripple effect. It affects everyone, but closer to the center, it is more devastating. And this series is beyond measure of the graphicness, the whole idea of what it's trying to do. I could not help but compare it to I Can Only Imagine, who shows Bart Millard, who is going through a childhood that is bad as it can be, and the hope that it brings, and then the series, 13 Reasons Why, and the despair that it brings. What a difference. We want to be a part of the hope, not the despair.
Yes, and Bert, you know, I should say that American Family Association is offering several tools. Not just asking you to sign a petition, but we're also we're suggesting a blog, 13 Reasons Why and Its Unintended Consequences. Another one, a blog by Julie Lowe, 13 Reasons Why Life is Worth Living. Grieving a Suicide, Help After the Aftershock, which is a book by David Powlison. I Just Want to Die, Replacing Suicidal Thoughts with Hope. And then, of course, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which I'll give right now. It's 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. Go to AFA.net and these resources will be available to you. Bert, I was talking with someone yesterday. I shared this with other friends of mine, this whole business that we're talking about, the death of Anna, this 13 Reasons Why, and an adult man that I know who's very successful really in Washington emailed me privately and said that his own father had committed suicide when he was a kid. And my response to him was just, as I was reflecting on it, it just took my breath away. It was like a kick in the stomach. It's like the normal horrible grief of losing someone, but with an added twist of the knife to your heart.
I agree fully. It is what it does to those that are close. They start asking, what could I have done? What did I do? Why did I not see this? Why did I not see this coming? But according to what we've heard about Anna Bright, there she covered it. She was so energetic and so outgoing. I was talking to Rebecca Davis, who did the article or wrote the article in the AFA Journal and did part of the interview. She was so energetic and so outgoing that the depression, the heartache was not seen by those close to her. And so some people cover it up better than others. Sandy, so to have something like 13 Reasons Why, a series, and having that available to someone who is going through trouble, it is a dangerous combination. And her parents did not know it. They had tried to put on things that they would not let her watch, and they did all the things. But I'm telling you, with the tech savvy of teenagers and others today, It is very difficult to keep those children away from certain things if they have it available in their homes.
Well, she probably didn't even know what she was going to watch. It probably looked like a show with a teenage girl that she could relate to. You know, you wonder, Bert, if she even knew what the subject matter was going to be. And those series are powerful. They're well done. They're compelling. They're like, you know, they're like soap operas on steroids because they're better crafted. The storylines are, the dialogue is great. I don't know. So you can get sucked in and then not even know what the end game is going to be. And I think that's probably, that may be what happened with Anna. But she's not the only one. It's Bella Herndon. It's Priscilla Chu. And I don't know, there may be others. And by the way, I should say again that Tim Wildman wrote to Reed Hastings, who is the CEO of Netflix. He wrote a very compelling letter. He asked if he could meet with him. He talked about Anna and these other girls and said, could we please talk about this? And he got no response. Absolutely no response. And so we're asking you to help us get their attention. It's afa.net, afa.net to sign the letter and take the other actions Amen. That we're asking.
Let's do Bert, it. Amen.
Bert, you're a pastor with a ton of experience. Do you think that pastors, you're getting ready to have this pastor and wife fishbowl retreat. It's October the 9th to the 11th of this year. It's at Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. J.J. Melanie Jasper will be speaking. You and your wife, Jan, will be speaking. It only costs $300 for both of you for the weekend. And you can call 662-844-5036, extension 300. 662-844-5036, extension 300, or register online at repairingthefoundations.net, repairingthefoundations.net. Bert, my question to you was, do you think that pastors are equipped to handle these tragic situations as like suicide?
I would put it this way, some are and some are not. What I did early on, I had a course in seminary called referral. And you learn to refer quick. You learn to try to look at the possibilities and do something about it. Don't sit on it yourself. I took confidentiality as I tried to make it a priority. When people would talk with me, Sandy, I may have made it bigger than I should have, but I was just so determined to be a confidential pastor. But when it comes to suicide, you break out of that. You do something about it. And most of the time, it is beyond us. So you get help. So you call others in. And there's times when you call in, quote, the artillery. You call in the people that are ready. And when suicide is on the table, the possibility of it is, it's bigger than you are. You better get others. You need more hands on deck. So the answer is just learn to share it. Learn to refer. Pastor, don't keep that to yourself thinking you can handle it by yourself. Because most of the time, it's bigger than we are, Sandy.
Yeah, you know, I've realized, Bert, that we have a lot of pastors who listen to this show. They contact me. They have all kinds of wonderful things to share. So you just have like 30 seconds here to tell them a little bit about what this fishbowl retreat's going to be like for them.
The theme is the ups and downs in the fishbowl. We have a special guest. It's going to come and tell them about his journey. And it's $300. AFA, they invest in pastors and wives. This doesn't cover the cost. AFA says, we love pastors and wives. And Sandy, it's not how to preach better, but it's how to live in your family and be the best example you can be.
Okay, Bert Harper, Director of Marriage, Family, and Pastoral Ministries. We are so blessed to have you at AFA. And by the way, if you'd like to come to this fishbowl retreat with your wife, go to repairingthefoundations.net, repairingthefoundations.net, and make your reservation. We'll put that on our Facebook page, too, so that you can follow up. Bert, thank you so much for joining me this morning. God bless you, sir.
Thank you so much.
All right. This has been Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.